Nearly 80 million people in this country have a criminal record, and many struggle to find employment or to find a place to live. Now, some states and businesses are moving to help lower those barriers for ex-offenders. The Second Chance Business Coalition is a group of large private sector companies working to expand hiring of ex-offenders. Microsoft, CVS Health, Walmart are among the group members. And let's talk now to Dane Lynn, Senior Vice President at the Business Roundtable, a group that is a founding partner of the Second Chance Business Coalition. Dane, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So first of all, can you help us understand the challenge facing your members, these companies? What are the legal barriers for companies to hire the formerly incarcerated, and what are the social barriers, the stigma?
Yeah, I think there are many barriers that are in the way, but I think it's first important to talk about what the opportunities are. You know, with a little over 10 million open jobs in this country, this is providing, I think, an opportunity for a whole host of people, including individuals with criminal records who've been excluded. That said, there are a number of barriers that get in the way, one of which is the systems that some employers are using that automatically exclude individuals without a college degree. And so we think there are ways in which to change the human resource systems that will allow for individuals with these records who have the skills that companies need to hire. Mm-hmm. I think the other barrier that gets in the way oftentimes are the legal requirements. And how do we figure out which jobs where there are federal regulations that would exclude individuals with criminal records from getting those jobs. But not all jobs should exclude these individuals. There are not regulatory requirements. So it's really about dispelling the myth. What's a real barrier versus what's a perceived barrier?
Yeah. It is early for your coalition. But I wonder what companies are already learning about benefits of hiring persons with criminal records. I came across some research that the coalition came out with suggesting so-called second chance employees are statistically highly engaged, highly loyal.
Yeah, I think that's, I don't know what else I could say in addition to the point that you just made. Not only are they loyal, but they're hard workers and they seek more, not just for themselves, but they seek more for the families in which they're supporting. And I think that's what is key to companies being able to say, this is a person that I want to stay in the company, and not only to stay in the company in the same job, but this is a person that I want to advance in my company.
So those are some of the benefits. What about challenges that the coalition is learning about? I gather many of these potential workers don't just need jobs, they may need counseling, housing, work-specific clothing, all of those things.
What we have seen are companies are providing a set of wraparound services. So as you pointed out, it may be counseling, but it may also be childcare. It may be transportation. So how do we provide a mentor to help support them? Because many of these individuals have never worked in corporate America. They may be the first person in their family who has worked in corporate America. So it's essential not just to provide them a job, but to provide them those services that will ensure their success in our companies.
And finally, Dane, I wonder if you have an anecdote that comes to mind that kind of goes to a specific company that has kind of been in this new space or an individual hired by one of these companies.
I think one of the examples that I often use is JPMorgan Chase. Over the past 3 years, 10% of the company's hires have been individuals with criminal records. That's nearly 4,500 people a year. The other example I would give is Eaton. So whether they ban the box, whether they don't ask the question of whether or not they have a criminal record until the final interview, but they have made a number of changes through their interviewing process that is increasing opportunities to individuals who apply to that company, not just in Cleveland, but in their other locations in the Midwest and down south as well.
Dane Lynn is Senior Vice President at the Business Roundtable. The corporate group is a founding partner of the Second Chance Business Coalition. Dane, thanks so much for the time.
Thank you, Scott.
And joining us now is one of those so-called second chance employees. Richard McMichael is an accountant at Koch Minerals and Trading, and he's on the line. Richard, welcome to Here and Now.
Hey, it's nice to be here.
And you were incarcerated for 5 years or so at the Winfield Correctional Facility in Kansas. And one of your jobs when you were there was to pick up trash along a highway, and that highway overlooked the company headquarters of Koch Industries. Do you remember what you thought about as you did that job and looked over at that corporate building?
So at this time, I'd already set a goal to try to gain employment when I got out at Koch Industries. Yeah, I'd never seen Koch Industries headquarters, but when I got put on the crew that worked on the K-96 highway, the highway goes right by the headquarters, and it was pretty surreal to look up and see the place that I've been pursuing for probably about 3.5 years at this point, and seeing everybody go from the parking lot into work. And it was kind of like looking across the fence, literally, at your dream.
Yeah. And along the way, maybe this is part of the focusing you're talking about. I understand when you were in prison, you read an article on criminal justice reform and second chance hiring. And it turns out the author was a lawyer for Koch Industries. His name is Mark Holden. What did you take away from reading that?
I think it was focusing on the discussion that as the criminal justice system stands now, there's economic setbacks as not hiring people that have previous criminal histories, because then you're effectively removing them from the workforce and any kind of economic participation. And it hurts, you know, when someone goes to prison, it not only hurts their family, it hurts themselves, hurts the community. And as far as what I witnessed inside, yes, his argument was 100% true.
Hmm. While you were in prison, I understand you wrote a letter to Koch Industries to a second chance hiring manager. What did you write?
So I, you know, came across an article on a guy named John Buckley. And, you know, he had some, just like Mark Holden, had some very good points about second chance hiring that I really believed in. And so I wrote him a letter just trying to introduce myself. You know, it was important to me. I wanted to take ownership for what I did, but I also wanted to separate that what I did didn't define, you know, who I was going to be. And, you know, tell him that, you know, I'd gotten my degree and I think that I could be a real asset to working at Koch. And, you know, I was willing to start anywhere and just, you know, I was trying to get an opportunity to do so.
And what's your work now?
So I work on the exchange settlement team at Koch Minerals and Trading. I am an accounting automation analyst. So I mostly program bots that do accounting, and we handle a lot of exchange trading settlement activities.
Oh, wow, good for you. I'm curious, when you first went to work at Koch, as you described, you left prison and very quickly went to this job. Initially, what were the obstacles, either transportation or housing, kind of practical obstacles or stigma?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I mean, even though I had such a great jump start on getting out, namely having a very, very good job, I did break down at one point. I mean, you get out and, you know, you got to go open a bank account. Then, well, you got to get there. They ask you for your driver's license. Well, you don't have a driver's license or a valid one. So then you know, okay, that's fine. So then you're going to go to the DMV to get your driver's license. But then they say, well, we need a proof of residency. We need a water bill. To get your water turned on, you have to have credit and you have to have a bank account. Mm. And so it was like this endless loop where you couldn't solve the problem. And when you put that in perspective, if you don't have a job, you don't have income, and you're dealing with all that, it's a huge mountain to climb.
Yeah, right. How about at the workplace? I mean, did your colleagues know of your past? Was there any sense of being stigmatized by people who would say something to you or look at you a certain way?
Absolutely not. So day one, starting, my supervisor made it clear that, you know, no one knew, but that was totally up to me. If I wanted to discuss it with my coworkers, that was my prerogative. I did end up coming out and telling all my coworkers. I did a story with Koch Industries. And at that point, you know, we all went into a meeting room and kind of watched the video, and the support was kind of overwhelming. It almost made me cry. You know, all my coworkers wanted to come up and hug me, and I didn't really feel like I did anything, you know, that extraordinary. You know, I was just, you know, they're just my coworkers. I just work with them every day. But yeah, the support was kind of overwhelming on that. And it was very nice to see everyone's opinion on the second chance hiring. And they, you know, they were very, very supportive of it.
So your employer, Koch Industries, allowed you to remain silent about your past. You could choose whether to discuss your past being incarcerated. I guess my question is, do you think being incarcerated actually made you a better worker than you otherwise would be?
Yeah, so I think for myself, it definitely instilled work ethic and focus, because where I work, I can walk to the window that overlooks outside and it looks directly at the highway that a year ago I was walking up and down picking up trash on the other side of the fence looking at my dream. It's now I was looking back at the past, and it's a great reminder to stay focused and always make decisions with integrity, not to end up back at the place that I started.
And that's Richard McMichael. He's an accountant at Koch Minerals and Trading, and he was hired after serving a 5-year prison sentence. Richard, thanks for sharing your story, and best of luck to you.
I appreciate it. You too.